Welcome back, everybody, to Merc with a Movie Blog. I am Josh the Merc Rainer here with another Futurama review. Today I will be doing Season 11, Episode 2, Children of a Lesser Bog. Now, before I get into it, I did want to bring something up that I failed to mention last time. Apparently, this is technically, as far as production goes, Season 8. But on Hulu, it is labeled as Season 11, and I looked into a little bit of why that is. So as far as, like I said, production goes, you know, those first four seasons were produced as four seasons, but they were broadcast technically as five. And so then you had the set of movies, which production-wise would have been the fifth season, broadcast wise would have been sixth, and then the sixth and seventh seasons production wise were broken into two halves each. So broadcast wise they were seasons 7, 8, 9, and 10. So I think that is the reason why Hulu has them labeled the way they do. Going forward, I will be continuing to label them and talk about them the way Hulu has them, so I will continue to call this Season 11. I understand that a lot of you out there are going to be like, no, this is Season 8. That's just the way it is. You know, that's the way it's going to be labeled and talked about. But it shouldn't really matter because we're talking about these episodes, episode by episode, and it's not really going to matter. It's going to be awesome. We're going to keep talking about these great episodes of Futurama, and I'm really excited to talk about Children of a Lesser Bog. This is actually the follow-up to the Season 4 premiere, Kif Gets Knocked Up a Notch. If you go on to Hulu, it is labeled as Season 5, Episode 5. So if you're looking for that episode to go and watch, which if it's been a while or if you haven't seen it, I honestly would suggest going and checking that out. Watch that episode. It'll really give you a little bit more insight to what's going on here, and give you a refresher if you haven't seen it in a while. But yeah, it's a direct follow-up to Kif Gets Knocked Up a Notch. 20 years have passed since Kif got pregnant and gave birth in the swamp. And they say it in the episode, you know, it'll take 20 years, you know. And as far as we were concerned as fans, that was just something we were never going to see. Because, you know, 10 years ago, the show ended. 10 years away from all that, we just had to, you know, wait and assume. And what I actually like about this is the show came out at the perfect time, because if it had waited even a year, then it would have already been past that, and that would have been, I think that would have been a bummer to have missed it. But we got to see this. You know, they have all the tad, you know, some of the tadpoles, not all, not even a little bit, some of them have, they're grown up now in various stages, and we'll talk about that as we get to it. All right, so the episode starts off with Fry sucking on his jacket. You know, he's just being Fry, you know, because apparently there is some candy stuck to the collar of his jacket. And it's this honey candy, and it's from, you know, over 1,000 years ago, from before he came to the future. But, you know, you got Zoidberg there, and Zoidberg being Zoidberg, he sucks it clean. And now it's gone. And so Fry's sad, you know. So Bender decides he's going to recreate this recipe for Fry, this long gone recipe. Fry makes the comment that it was discontinued after they decided it was only good enough to be like an industrial glue, which I was like, oh, okay. Because as they go through it, you know, he makes this candy. He puts what I love is that Bender uses treacle, which is, it's molasses, but it's like the British term, I think, or like the Australian term or something like that, for molasses. And so I just thought it was really funny that that's what he was calling it. And, you know, the professor tries it and he goes into like a diabetic coma, which I thought was, you know, a really funny little moment. You know, he's like, oh, diabetic coma, and he just kind of collapses. But they name it Clump O' Honey, which is an obvious riff on the, you know, the honey candy Bit O' Honey, which, you know, most people it's kind of got a reputation of just not being very good. And I think it's hilarious because my assumption is that it's supposed to be Bit of Honey is what it's supposed to be. But the fact that Fry's says that it was eventually discontinued because it was only good to use as an industrial glue, I thought that was hearing that together and kind of piecing that together, I thought it was really funny, because it's obviously meant as a slam on Bit of Honey. And anytime I think of Bit of Honey, I think of the show Scrubs. I don't know how many of you out there have watched Scrubs, but there's when Turk becomes diabetic, he has to, I think it's like once a month, he gets to pick out a candy. And he ends up going with Bit of Honey. And everybody's like, oh, man, I'm so sorry. And he's like, nah, man, I've been picking bits of it out my teeth all day. And so I always think about that. It's always really funny to me. And it's so sticky, so incredibly sticky that it rips out Amy's teeth. And this whole thing with the clump of honey and now with this moment where it rips out Amy's teeth, this is what pushes the entire episode forward and into what is really what the episode's really about. The clump of honey stuff kind of plays throughout the episode in various ways. You see it pop up here and there, and it actually has a slight influence on the subplot with Kif that we'll talk about in a little bit. But yeah, it's a crux for this episode, surprisingly. So yeah, like I said, Amy's teeth gets all ripped out. Zoidberg offers to do the dental work for her. I mean, honestly, I would not be letting him touch my mouth in any way. And so when she checks her calendar to see if she's got the time free to do this, she realizes that it is time to get their children. And so here we actually get a kind of like a flashback, but in their own great way. They had video footage of the moment of Kif's birth, and they just reshow the clip from the episode that I mentioned earlier. And it was really cool to see that, especially because I rewatched the original episode before watching this one again so that I could take notes for it. And it was just really cool to see how it all, you know, kind of tied back together and everything, and loving the fact that they used it. And in comparison to way back then, 20 years ago, when Amy was not ready to be a mom, Amy is now. You know, she even says, you know, by that time, I'll be ready. And she is. She is fully ready. She wants this now. And so they travel to the swamp, you know, because they're going to do the birth ceremony on Amphibious 9. And they all head out there. The grand midwife returns, which was really cool to see. And the children emerge from the swamp. And you see like hundreds of these tadpoles coming, you know, swimming through. And almost all of them just get eaten by random animals. So that's, you know, that's nature for you. And out of these like hundreds of tadpoles, only three make it. And they're all in different developmental stages of life, which I thought was really interesting, because instead of just having, you know, like three children of the same age to deal with, you know, we get to see them run the gamut on all of them. One of them is like a toddler age. One of them is like a young child age, you know, and then one is like a teenager. And this is all because of where they were in the swamp, the temperature of the swamp. It changed the way that they developed throughout the 20 years, which I thought was a really fascinating idea. I don't know if that is something that happens with certain animals at all, but I thought that was just in general a really fascinating idea. And it gave them a quick way to have these three kids of all different ages and how they're going to have to deal with that going forward. We can see Amy's parents again. They are as terrible as always. I remember, you know, when the show first started and Amy was this vapid, just like almost Kardashian like, you know, that's, I think though, like, I think this was before them, but you know, like the Paris Hilton type of people, like though, that's what they were kind of modeling this ad, this character after. And she really grew. She was one of those characters that had some of the most growth, the most character growth, throughout this show. And I love that we are continuing to see that with her here. So we notice that the toddler continues to call, continuously calls Leela mama. And Leela's like, I'm not your mother. Why do you keep calling me that? And Amy has to remind her that she is the genetic mother of these children. Because we had found out 20 years ago that her DNA mixed with Kif's. And that is what happened here. And so she apparently forgot. And I love that they recap how it all happened, you know, and to kind of like explain to the viewers who maybe aren't going to go back and watch the series before this, or like, for instance, me, like I've watched the show plenty of times, right? But I didn't go back and rewatch the whole series or anything before the season came out. So it was nice to have them kind of give us this recap. We got to see the little clip. We get this little bit of a recap as well. It's really nice. And then it made it even better when I went back and rewatched the episode as well. We then also get this montage of Kif and Amy. They're out at the park taking care of the kids, and one of the tires on like the stroller breaks, and so Kif like rips his arm off and like turns it into a tire, and his arm grows back. It was a really funny moment. Get a scene with like catching butterflies and grinding them into a bottle for the baby to drink. All kinds of fun stuff going on in this episode. But parenthood is not easy for Kif and Amy. I mean, it's not easy for anybody. You know, as a parent myself, you know, I can tell you it's not easy. And it gets worse as Kif is ordered to report for military duty with Dupe by Zap Brannigan. Yes, we get the return of Captain Zap Brannigan in this. And Amy's a wreck, taking care of these kids by herself. You know, she's got, you know, she's a new mother, three kids, and it's taking a toll on her. And Kif is missing his family. You know, he's a mess too. You know, he's away from his family, and he misses them dearly. And so Leela offers to watch the kids so that Amy can, you know, catch some sleep and everything. And the kids, they really bond with her. You know, Leela's really trying. She's not trying to take away, you know, Amy's motherhood or anything like that. She's just trying to be there for these kids, you know. But Amy starts getting really jealous because she feels like these kids love Leela more than her. And unfortunately, that kind of thing can happen, you know, where the person that is taking care of them a bit more can kind of bond with them like that. You know, it's unfortunate, but it's not over for Amy and them. So don't worry about that. Kif and Zap would get back to them. They reach the outpost where they are going. And this is where that subplot that I was talking to you about kind of kicks in. They get to this outpost being attacked by the guy who's working there, the scientist who's there. He says he's being attacked by bears. And when they show them, they're actually tardigrades, but they're like giant tardigrades. Tardigrades are these like microscopic invertebrates, also known as water bears. But they're, you know, giant bear-sized versions of these. So I thought that was really interesting to see. And the bears become drawn to the clump of honeys because Zap has been eating them. Kif brought them with him on the ship, and Zap had a bunch of them and you know, has been eating them, and they end up dragging him away, and Kif has to go off and save him. Of course, that's the Zap Brannigan way. So then we kind of go back to the Amy and Leela stuff. Amy's jealousy, she begins to overtake her. And she calls Kif, she's crying because she thinks the kids love Leela more than her. And you know, she's really, really down about this. And then the Grand Midway shows up. Now, I didn't mention this before, and I should have. During the montage, when they're at the park, the Grand Midwife kind of is in the background, like taking notes. We're not 100% sure why at first. But we find out that a challenge has been declared over the motherhood of these children. And it's possible that Leela will gain gain custody, essentially, of the kids because of this. And so Kif, he's like, you know what? I'm coming home. And Kif gets real badass here, man. He picks up the ray gun and he just takes out a bunch of these bears to save Zap's life and to get home to his family, you know? And so we end up learning that Amy contributed no DNA whatsoever to these kids. We thought it was, you know, like the majority was Leela. That's what we were under the assumption of. But apparently none from Amy at all. There was apparently trace amounts from Scruffy. We got to see Scruffy in this. And in his amazing Scruffy way, he says something to the effect of Scruffy's DNA gets around. It's hilarious, and I love that they brought that character back. It's fantastic. So Leela and Amy, they talk it out. And even though, you know, Amy is extremely sad at the possibility of losing her kids, you know, she's willing to do what is necessary here. And then as kind of like a mirror to the original episode, which I thought this was fantastic, a fantastic way to do this. In the original episode, Kif went to the swamp. Amy was having second thoughts, and she didn't go with them. Like, she wasn't at the swamp at first. And then at the last minute, she shows up to see the birth of their children and to see them as tadpoles and going off into the swamp. Well, they mirror this by having Amy there with the kids and Kif not. Kif is not there. And then he shows up at the last minute, you know? So I thought that was really, really nice way to, especially, I didn't catch it the first time because I didn't think about it. I didn't remember that. But watching the episodes back to back, I got to see that dichotomy, and it was really cool. So I really recommend watching these episodes back. And Kif then reveals, you know, what he had to do. You know, we get a little flashback to the cave, the bear cave, and Kif comes face to face with these two bears, and they find out they're just protecting their young. And instead of, they make us think that Kif killed them all, but instead we see that the scientist was there cracking jokes at the bears, calling them stupid, all this other stuff, teasing them with fish. And he shoots down he's on like a scaffolding kind of thing, and he shoots it down and essentially offers up the kind of douchey scientist to the bears. So I thought that was great. He sees, you know, they're just protecting their young, just like he would be doing. He would be doing the same thing. And so I thought that was a great little parenthood moment for Kif. And so Kif and Amy have to go inside what is called the Inquisidome now. And it's just a tiki hut, essentially. And they are going to be questioned by the Grand Midwife. But really, they just have one. She just has one question, and it's essentially, "Do you love these children?" And Amy's answer is so beautiful, like I wouldn't be able to do it justice. Like, it's so beautifully given. The performance is fantastic here. I loved it, and it's this true love that's coming from Amy for these children that convinces the grand midwife that, yeah, you are the mother, whether you gave them their DNA or not. You are their true mother. And, you know, they get to be this happy family now. And that's just kind of how everything wraps up. And I thought that was just, it was a beautiful way to end it. It was a beautiful episode. It was a great way to kind of bridge back to the old, you know, to the original, to the original series, really, before it got canceled the first time. You know, we got those first four seasons there. And so, I don't know. I really enjoy this episode. I think they're doing a great job with this new season. I hope that you guys are enjoying the season as well. I'd love to hear all your thoughts. You can hop on Twitter at MovieBlogMerc. Let me know all your thoughts on the new season of Futurama. Have you been enjoying these first two episodes? I tell you what, like I said last time, I have seen the first six. And they're great. There are some great stuff going on. I am super excited to see the final four for this half of the season, and then the 10 to come after, and whatever they bring. I'm just so incredibly excited to see more Futurama. But yeah, you can follow me, like I said, on Twitter at MovieBlogMerc. And obviously, if you're watching this on YouTube, you're watching it on the Merc with a Movie Blog YouTube channel. So be sure to hit that like button, smash that subscribe button, and click that little bell so you always know when I'm dropping new content. And be sure to head over to the podcast network. You know, I've been putting these up there. It's been a long time since I did anything on the podcast network. But I'm putting these ones up there. So be sure to check that out. Merc with the Movie Blog on all the major podcasting platforms. If you have questions or comments, you can leave them on the YouTube channel, or if you do like 5-star reviews and you want to leave a comment, and I can address them, you know, during the episodes or anything like that. I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts. And yeah, so let me know first off what you thought of the episode. And what you're looking forward to the most. What are you hoping to see? Again, on Twitter at MovieBlogMerc. You can check me out there. And I think that's all I got for you guys. So as I always say, keep watching movies and also TV. Catch you next time.